for no good reason. We just thought we'd pass out a piece of paper, so no big deal. So Isaiah 41. A couple years ago, I went in great detail about what you have on a little piece of paper, and of course, I remember everything that I said a couple years ago. You remember everything I said a couple years ago? What did I say last Sunday? So that I just put the title of the event and how I understand the calendar that God has for the future. And I personally am fully persuaded of this. You may or may not be. On the back table, I have 10 pages of the scripture of all the details that we put on that paper. So got, and if we run out, we get you copies of that if you wish. So that's the future, and telling prophecy of the Bible, the track record of the Bible and prophecy, that's how you know the Bible's true, is by the prophecies. And you cannot explain these things, like, why is Israel interested in a red heifer? Why did a farmer in Texas developed the genetics and produced and gave birth to red heifers, meaning no white hairs, no nothing. And then they shipped them to Israel via airplane in September of 2022, I think, maybe 23, I think 22. Why do they have an interest in that? This book shows why. Okay. Why is Jerusalem the focal point of world history? Why is that? Okay, in Isaiah 41, in Isaiah 40 to 48, God is kind of like taking a trip to the United Nations, and he's speaking there, and he's challenging these nuts there at the United Nations. That's what UN stands for. It means United Nuts. And so he's challenging them. Okay, and here's how he challenges them. In Isaiah 41, verse 21, there's just four, I'm just going to look at the four verses, but he focuses on the idea of what he can do in detail and man and Satan cannot. Okay, Isaiah 41, 21, produce your cause. So this is a debate. It's a court setting. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob. Let them, that would be the world as a whole, the United Nations, let them bring them forth and show us, the Godhead, what shall happen. Okay, so prophecy. What shall happen? Let them, the United Nations, show the former things what they be, that we, the Godhead, may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Tell us what's going to happen in the future. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we, the Godhead, may know that ye, United Nations, are gods. Okay, yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it all together. And then his ultimate trash talking. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. Okay, so prophecies. So if you don't know if the Bible is true, check out the prophecies. Now, of course, the problem is we have it in one volume. And when these guys gave these prophecies, they were hundreds of years before. And so you do have to be honest and figure that out. But the Lord has a plan for the future. Okay? And it's like planning a family vacation. You ever plan a family vacation? You anticipate joyful memories. Hopefully you don't get a flat tire, have to in a mechanic's place. Okay? The plans for travel and places to visit, you prepare for joyous memories. So God has a plan for the future, and he has laid it out in the Bible. It's pretty clear to me. A lot of Christians are confused on these things, and there's a reason for that confusion. After I graduated from high school, when I graduated, I wanted to take a motorcycle trip. I had bought a 900 Kawasaki from my brother. I gave him 500 bucks and six hogs. He was wanting to get rid of it. And so he took the hogs and I took and the money, and then so I took the motorcycle. Okay, and I took a trip out west. Didn't plan it, just got on the road. Me and another farmer friend, we traveled 6,000 miles in 16 days, young and dumb. And so then the next year, I thought, I want to do that again. Oh, this next year, I'm going to plan it. So I went up northwest the first year, up into Washington, Oregon, came down Oregon coast, saw the redwoods, came back across. The second year I went southwest, so we went to 9 national parks. So that one I planned. We actually was very efficient in it, but we went 6,000 miles. Still, the idea is you're planning something out in the future. On the little piece of paper, I just put titles of events that God is going to chart out yet in the future. It's a simple map, simplified. All the scripture, much of the scripture that's persuaded me of this idea is back there at the back table. If a person wants to find a book that's probably the most helpful book outside of the Bible, is Clarence Larkin's Dispensational Truth. That kind of lays out some charts of the Bible. But there's a lot of confusion amongst Christians today. Are you pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib? Okay, and so they're trying to figure that out. It's pretty much a no-brainer for me on that one. Are you pre, post, or millennial? Okay, that's an idea. Millennial, mill is 1,000 annual, 1,000 years. It's 1,000-year time period. So are you on those things? Now, personally, I've made the call in the field for my life. I am persuaded of it. And usually when there's a call that's made on a field, if there's a challenge flag, if there's a challenge, you have to see evidence that is beyond reasonable doubt to overrule the call in the field. So I've made the call in the field as far as I believe, you know, pre-trib, pre-millennial, so forth and so on down the road. And so if somebody's going to show me something different, they got to have some information that's going to overrule, that's got to be clear, that causes me to change my viewpoint on these things. And I'm just going to hit the highlight of three that's on the chart that you have. You'll see church, maybe church in there. I don't have a chart in front of me. So church, that's where we're all sitting now. Okay, as far, not just a building, but that's the time that we're in, living in, the church, okay? And then I'm going to look at the tribulation, pre-tribulation real quick. We're just getting the highlights of these things, and then a 1,000-year millennium. Those are the three I'm going to focus on this morning. How is the church going to end? Now, when I say church, I'm talking about Christianity as a whole. You can throw under this umbrella anything that tries to identify itself as Christian. Okay, and I know that's a pretty loose term, you know, and so forth and so on. But how is the church going to end? The many in the contemporary world, the Pentecostal world, they think that we're having a great revival. They're excited because Trump's in office and all this stuff. Sure, I'm glad he's in office. I'd rather have him than the alternative, oh brother. Okay, but and I do believe this is going to play into the thing, but it's going to play in a different way. How is the church going to end? People tend to think because now Trump's in charge, the church, people are interested in the truth. No, they're not. They're really not. They are interested in some form of truth, but maybe not Bible truth. How is the church going to end? I tell you, it's going to end up in a mess. Yeah, real encouragement there. How is the church going to end? Is it going to be a revival and people are going to knock down church doors? No, the last time that happened was during the Great Depression because people were desperate. Okay? The church is going to end in apostasy and anarchy. Amen. That's how it's going to end. Okay? That's just reality. And if you've maybe some of you've experienced, I know some of you have experienced it, and I know I have experienced it. And this is why some of you drive great distances to find someone that you believe is at least a Bible believer. And that's how the church is going to end. It might surprise you that if you would write to any church in a 50-mile radius, ask them, do you believe that there's a Bible that you can get in your hands that's without error? If they're honest, 99% will say no. Moody Bible Institute, they're just one of hundreds. If you look at their definition, they've never seen a Bible a day in their life. So what is their final authority? It's their opinion. Their opinion supersedes what God says. That's where it's at. And that's why there's so much confusion. There's so much confusion. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, pre-millennial, amillennial. I don't understand. And I understand why they don't understand. Because the one that they're following has no final authority but his opinion or her opinion. Like that woke dude or woke thing, whatever the thing that lectured Trump. I mean, what a thing. That's where it's heading. Okay? Okay, authority for that. Let's first we'll look at scripture and then we'll look at science to prove the point. Science is very important to verify some things in the Bible. Okay, the comment by Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 3. So when you go to the back of the Bible, you're dealing with the back of history, the back of time. And again, prophecies, I mean, when you look at the prophecies and just be honest about the prophecies, there is no explanation that the number 666 is a prevalent number, six, in the operating of computers. There's no explanation for that. Okay, and so Revelation 3, there are seven churches mentioned here, and these were individual churches back then. They might be churches in the trib. I think they might be. There's a dual application a lot of times, and these churches do follow a pattern of history. We are setting in Laodicea. Laia, Laity, Laos, that's common people. Laodicea means the rights of the common people. And they are, in verse 15 and 16, they are lukewarm. Okay, and then here is the general attitude of the church toward the end. And this is where this worldwide peace and prosperity or prosperity may step in. And this is where may the church here at the end may benefit from this prosperity. And here's what the church people will say. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. The need of nothing is including Jesus Christ. You'll see that down in 3:20. He's outside the church knocking. And the Lord is not real optimistic. He doesn't say if, he didn't say when people hear my voice. He says, if any man hear my voice, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. So in these apostate situations, there are people that do not appreciate what's going on, but they don't know what to do. They have no idea what to do. So this is how the church is going to end. That Jesus says, okay, the church says, I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. Jesus said, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Now maybe you've experienced some of that. I know I have. Okay, but that's what Jesus' comment is on that. Now let's go to Paul and see what his comment is about that in 2 Thessalonians and 2 Timothy and 3 Timothy. Now if you delve into the Greek and delve Greek really deep down into it, you'll discover that Timothy had a pet dog. His name was Lassie. But then again, I'm dating myself on that one. That's an old one back in the 60s. Timothy and Lassie. Remember Timmy and Lassie? Lassie, come home. Okay, that's Timothy in the Bible. Okay, so 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you'll see in verse 1, there's a coming of the Lord and a gathering. So you have two separate events. The gathering would be the pre-tribulation rapture. The coming is down to earth. So what is going to happen to the church? He says in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the second coming and or pre-tribulation, because it occurs in both of them, for that day shall not come first, or except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed as son of perdition. So a falling away, that's a falling away, that's an apostasy. Okay, post is a standing position. You put A in front of a word, it does the opposite. So apostasy is a falling away. And I can give you the right questions to ask the right person, and you will watch them fall away, where they will say, yeah, I believe the Bible. Yeah, I believe the Bible. Yeah, I believe the Bible. And then you say, okay, what do you mean by that? Well, what do you mean by that? No, what do you mean by the Bible? You said the Bible. That's a definitive article. That's one book. What do you mean by that? And I don't know what you mean. Okay, I'll give you a multiple choice test. Alexandrian manuscripts, the Received Text manuscripts, the Septuagint, the King James, the New King James, the American Standard Version, and all that stuff. People say that we're King James only. We're not. If you go into the bathroom, you look in the urinal, it says American Standard right on there. So we do promote the American Standard. You know, as far it works very well in the bathrooms over there. Okay, and so that's the truth there. Okay, so and then when you give that list, they will backpedal. They will backpedal on that. And so I've asked dozens, and if not hundreds, of people these questions, and watched them backpedal on these things. So there's a falling away. If you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Okay, the terms last days are found 8 times in the Bible. They're always referenced to the end of Daniel's 70th week, the last days of Daniel's 70th week. And this, you'll see, because this is written in the church time period by Paul and Timothy, it'll be futuristic as you follow the verb tense of the tense of the verb. Verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. See, so that means after the church. Now, these perilous times will overlap the church. The first characteristic, men should be lovers of their own selves. In the psychology world, that's called narcissism and sociopathy. In the criminal world, that's psychopath. In the church, verse 5 says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. They look godly, but they're not godly. If you ask them certain questions, you would discover the fangs will come out. Deception is rampant amongst believers. Now, if you look in chapter 4, Paul said, for the time, in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That is not the world. That's Christians. Will not endure sound doctrine. They will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear. And if you want to watch that, watch Joel Osteen, and you'll see that in action. Okay, Joyce Meyer. You probably find more things on manhood from Joyce Meyer than you would Joel Osteen, but even at that. Now, if you back up, look in chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for... Guess what the new Bibles do with that word? They take it out, put teachers in, just like in verse 3 said, they don't want to endure sound doctrine, heap to themselves teachers. So they take it out of 3:16 and throw teachers in there. Narcissism, sociopathy is rampant in the church. Preachers, missionaries, evangelists, it doesn't have to be multi-version ones, even though that's probably true. So I know the King James guys, narcissism is rampant in the churches. The abuse by pastors, evangelists, missionaries is rampant in the church. And this is a good sign if you're looking for the Lord to return. Amen. Sadly, a lot of people are suffering from it. And my wife and I, we get calls all the time from, what do I do? My husband is such and such. A missionary, evangelist, and pastors. Okay, and so this is rampant. And many of you have suffered from these things. But rejoice, because it shows the Lord's coming back. Okay, it has to fall apart. Now, the truth is that we do not have to justify going along to get along. Many Bible characters remain faithful during times of apostasy. Ruth remained virtuous during times of apostasy. So that's no excuse. Now, the reason why this is true, that we read the scripture. Now, in the science world, you have the first law of thermodynamics, where nothing creates itself naturally. That's law number one. Number two is entropy. Entropy just means that there's less energy with time, and everything tends toward disorder and chaos. Now, if you doubt that, let's put all our 2 and 3 year olds in that room down there and take all adult supervision away, and we will see that the room will be totally put together and clean. You'll not hear any crying. The little ones will definitely cooperate with each other. No, right. We know what's going to happen. Okay, so in life, everything falls apart. Entropy. The only thing we can do is delay it. Okay, your cell phone, entropy is taking place right now. The battery is wearing down. And the only thing that's going to overcome it is you got to have an outside source. So you plug it in the wall, an outside source will recharge it. The only way your car is going to be delayed from going to the junkyard or the recycling bin is an outside force has to have preventive maintenance. That is a law of life. Everything is falling apart. So why wouldn't the church fall apart? It has to. That's science. All clocks run down. Every age ends in apostasy. The last word in the Old Testament is curse. Everything's falling apart. That's how man works. And so it's amazing that individuals within these apostate churches even desire to fellowship with the Lord. But there are some. Okay, and like I said, many of you, and I know me personally, have experienced these things and watched these things and don't understand why it takes place. But when you understand the doctrines of the Bible, you understand. Amen. And you can rejoice in that. Instead of getting bitter, you get better. Okay, so that's just the way it is, okay? And it doesn't matter if they identify as contemporary, Pentecostals, charismatic, fundamentalists, Bible believers. I mean, the crowd that I observe is the Bible believers, but it's just as rampant with them as it is in any other realm. The catholics, the feline fanatics, you know, that's what a catholic is, a cat, and you're a holic, you're holy given over to the cat, so you're a feline fanatic. And so, anybody knows what's going on in that organization, but the Protestants are right there with them. Okay, why? Jesus said it was going to be that way. Amen. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. We can rejoice in that. But stay faithful in the Lord and recognize that we can succumb to those things. And I'm sure we have in many ways. And sometimes you just kind of catch yourself and you got to do a reset on your own selves. The next one is the tribulation time period. Okay, what is commonly known as a tribulation, you have Tim LaHaye, Left Behind series. What's his name? Kurt Cameron played in one of those, and he and I had a chat, you know, about these things, and I watched Kurt fall away into apostasy. And it was 2007 when I first talked to him, and I mailed him a letter afterwards, and then was it a couple years ago? Was he up north here about 2 years ago? And I thought, I'm just going to go see if I can get a chat with him, if he remembers our conversation of 2002, 15 years ago. And so I went up and started chatting with him before his security guards pulled him away from me. And I said, I don't know if you remember me, but we had a conversation on the phone. He said, I remember. He said, I'd love to talk to you within an hour. Well, let's sit down and talk. Nope, too busy. He's gone to the Geneva instead of the King James. I don't know why, Calvinism. But, he's, you know, I don't judge him for that. That's his choice. I believe in liberty. I believe in liberty. But, man, you got to search these things out and discover the truth. It's a blessing when you get these things. Now, the tribulation time period. Okay, now where that idea comes from is in Daniel 9, 24 to 27. And I've got all this stuff in these 10 pages back there. And back there it says, 70 weeks are determined upon my people and upon my holy city. Now we have an advantage of hindsight, the 70 times 7, where Jesus simplified it. You forgive until 70 times 7. And obviously we know that it's not talking about you forgive somebody 490 times. I mean, if you've been married 10 years, you've had over 490 forgivenesses. I mean, do you just stop at 490? No, this is forgiving until the end of Daniel's 70 weeks. He's talking to Israel because he was a prophet to Israel. Okay, so we know that that's 490 years. And when Gabriel explained it to Daniel, he divided it in three sections, 7, 62, and 7. I mean, 1. 7, 62, and 1. And the 62 after the 62 plus the 7 is the Messiah's cutoff. That's the crucifixion. So we have this 1 year hanging. Okay? We have 1 year hanging, and that is known as the tribulation. If you would go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, that entire 490 year period and that remaining portion of 7 years is God dealing with Israel. The church has to be gone. There's no way, two ways about it. We have to be out of here. The reason why, it goes back to Old Testament doctrine where they did not have eternal security. Now, what you do is you find the word in the Bible, tribulation. This is the first occurrence, Deuteronomy 4, verse 30. And when you read the entire book, 34 chapters, this is Moses talking to Israel. And he says, when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon you, even in the latter days. So we have a definition here, the usage. Tribulation for Israel in the latter days. So, that's our foundation right there. Then if you go to Matthew 24 and see if that definition is retained throughout the Bible, and we will discover that. The book of Daniel is easily known to be a parallel of Revelation. In Daniel 2, you have Daniel has four worldwide kingdoms, and then the Antichrist. In Daniel 7, he has three worldwide kingdoms, and then the Antichrist. In Daniel 8, he goes down to two of the Antichrist. In Daniel 9, down to one of the Antichrist. In Daniel 11, he goes right to the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the second most popular character in the Bible described. Okay, and so that's how Daniel ran it. In Matthew 24, in verse 15, this is a part of the answer when the guys asked Jesus about the sign of thy coming and of the end and so forth, so on. And he says this, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. So he is going back to Daniel 9, he's going back to Daniel 8, and Daniel 7. And back there, he describes a very bad event. And it's called the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. That's the Jewish temple. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Where are they located? Verse 16, Judea, not America. At the end of verse 20, Sabbath day, Jewish. 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So, this will make the Holocaust look like a Sunday school picnic, the tribulation time period. Well, what is the abomination of desolation? It is when a fella goes, a worldwide leader, a worldwide tyrant, he has pushed off peace and prosperity for 3.5 years. He goes into the Jewish temple and he says to the Jews, I am the Christ. I am God. And they will say, oh, we got hoodwinked. And they will yell and scream as a Jew can only do. And then he will get his United Peacekeeping troops and he says, get them. And he will get those Jews and he will sacrifice them in a religious ceremony. He will cut their throat. He will catch their blood. He will drink their blood. He will eat their flesh in a Jewish temple, and the world will revel in it. The world will love it. They've been sick and tired of hearing about Israel for the last 3.5 years. And then all hell breaks loose. That's what the Bible predicts. You know they're ready for this? It's in the makings. You know, people say, oh, we're so civilized. Yeah, right. With advanced technology, you just have more ways of watching people and more ways and more convenient ways of killing them. That's what technology does. And that's what the tribulation's all, what is going to be happening. Now, it's going to start off with peace and prosperity, and I think it's going to cross over to the church time, this peace and prosperity. And then everybody's going to be reveling in their finances and wealth and all this stuff. And then when the Antichrist does that, then he's going to start going after the Jews and any the few Gentiles that's going to try to help him out. But then it's going to end just like the church age. It's going to end in chaos and destruction. Okay, the only way it's going to be fixed is an outside force named Jesus Christ who comes back and fixes it. That's the only way it's going to work. Okay, and so that's how the tribulation ends. The next one is the millennial time period. Okay, mill is 1,000, annual, that's 1,000 years. If you would go to Revelation chapter 20, this is the most important doctrine of the Bible. You know, if a person really, really wants to get some visual evidence of these things, I'd encourage taking a trip to Israel. Fly into Tel Aviv, take a train over to Jerusalem, get a motel or hotel in Jerusalem. Probably cost you $200 a night. Walk down to the Temple Mount, walk down to the Garden Tomb, walk over to the Church of the Unholy Sepulchre. walk over to the Mount of Olives and just walk around and ask God to show you some things. The Garden Tomb is fascinating. That's where the Lord was placed. All the characteristics match. You got a cliff face. You've got it on the north side outside of the city. You've got a wine press. You've got evidence of vine trees. You've got the sepulcher. You've got the metal spike that's in the rock where the Romans sealed that round circular rock. I mean, it's just there. If you want to discover where they placed the holes for the billboard signs, this is the King of the Jews. They're there, you know, all that stuff is there. When I visited there with Ron Wyatt, before we walked in, he told our tour group, he said, they're going to be very nervous because I'm here. And I'm like, yeah, right. And when we walked in there, boy, were those workers nervous because Ron Wyatt was walking around. He's the one that did the Lord used to find these things. And then they knew him by name, and I'm sitting there, and Mr. White, can we talk to you for a second? So I'm just kind of sneaking over to listen to what they got to say to him. And I thought, wow, this is something going on here. This is a big deal. And it's scientific evidence of the Lord's where he was crucified. There's the cliff face. I mean, it's just there. Now, if you're in Revelation 20, kind of skim down through there, if you would, in verse 2 at the end of the verse, 1,000 years. Verse 3 in the middle, the 1,000 years. Verse 4 at the end, 1,000 years. Verse 5 in the middle, the 1,000 years. Verse 6 at the end, 1,000 years. And then verse 7, the 1,000 years. So is it premillennial where Christ comes back in the beginning and establishes it? Or does the church get stronger and stronger and stronger and Christ comes back at the end? That's the post-toasties. I mean, what a very optimistic people. I was talking to one of these fellows one time, and I asked him if I described it right, and you know, the church is getting stronger, going to encompass the world, and then Christ is going to come back. Yeah, that's right. And I said, okay, at this time we have 1.5 billion Muslims, 1 billion Catholics, 500 million Hindu. I mean, how many LDS we have? And Satanism is on the rise. Satanism is just busting out at the seams in a New Age movement. I said, how's it looking? And, well, no, don't look good. No, entropy's taken place. Scientific law, it's taken place. It's going to fall apart. The Lord has to come back at the beginning. He's going to fix it. It's going to be the greatest time ever known to man. Okay, if you would, Isaiah chapter 11, this is the most important doctrine of the Bible. For the average person, the most important doctrine is Calvary. Right? That's where we get in, at Calvary. The most important from God's perspective is when his son is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the day on his calendar. Isaiah 11, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, he's describing Jesus Christ. In verse 1, he's called the branch, uppercase B. Okay, so you got the branch there. In verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord rests upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. Verse 3, he's got quick understanding. Verse 4, he's going to judge with righteousness, reprove with equity for the meek. Verse 5, righteousness. Okay, the outcome, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Now, if you don't believe in dispensations, I encourage you to go buy a wolf. Maybe it's a healing thing. There are some healing techniques with wolves, where some people have these wolves, and people who are sick, the wolves can search, they can sniff that out, and a wolf will go to them and kind of comfort them. And there's comfort in petting an animal. But these are tamed animals. And I think they're well fed. Okay, but if you don't believe in dispensation, buy you a wolf and buy you a lamb and put them to pin together. And see how that pans out. There's going to be one animal in the end. And one's going to be licking his chops. You know, there's going to be a time where these animals, there's no beast of prey, no more beast of prey. Literally and figuratively in the political world, no beast of prey. And so at this time period, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and a young lion and a fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Can you imagine having a real teddy bear? A real live teddy bear, and you don't have to worry about it eating you? I mean, what a time. The young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the sucking child shall play in the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. No poisonous snakes. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Jesus is going to be ruling from Jerusalem. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amen. Best time ever known to man. Right there. Looking forward to that day. I mean, people say it's a pie in the sky. Well, give me the pie. I mean, it's right there on earth, and we might be able to get a part, be able to be a part of that. Might be, I'm not saying. We'll get to see. A born-again person is promised to see it and enter into it. To be a part of his administration is a different ballgame. So premillennial, pre-tribulation, it's a no-brainer. Premillennial, the Lord's got to come back at the beginning to fix everything. Why would he come back at the end? Why would the church need him if the church did it on their own? Amillennial, that's just a cop-out. Amillennial, that's like an agnostic. You know, Gnostic is knowledge. A in front of Gnostic is no knowledge. This lady in Monon years ago when I was going door to door, she said, I'm an agnostic. And I said, isn't that a nice way of saying an ignoramus? She didn't appreciate my definition. Because that's what it is. Well, you can't know anything for certain. Well, yes, you can. Sure, there's some things that are questionable, but man, am I standing here? Yeah. Now, the millennium is going to be a time of peace and prosperity, but if you would go back to Revelation, entropy is still going to take place. Why? After 1,000 years of peace and prosperity with a sinless king, no scandals, God allows the devil out of the prison for a custard's last stand. And you want to see the power of his deception? He can deceive as many as the sands of the sea who witnessed a sinless king for 1,000 years with peace and prosperity. And he gets an army together, Revelation 20, verse 7, 8, and 9. Entropy takes place. How's the millennium going to end? Chaos and destruction. Now, scientists say, in violation of the first two laws of thermodynamics, scientists say that nothing exploded and became everything. What we see. And they call it a big bang. Now, I think they're messing up here. A big bang is not a large words. You would think they'd have a better scientific word. So I have come up with, Sam Gipp actually came up with a better one, Maximus Bangus. Now, that sounds more scientific. Maximus Bangus. That's just more impressive. Okay? They say big bang. You know, scientific, Maximus Bangus. They say a big bang's at the beginning, and you started in a puddle, and you're evolving to paradise. The Bible says Adam and Eve was created in paradise, and they're devolving into mud, and it's going to end with a big bang. The big bang is in verse 9 at the end, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Boom. And what happens to the devil? He's cast into the lake of fire, verse 10. So that's a common saying, get fired. And what happens to the heaven and earth in verse 11? And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. Boom. Maximus Bangus, gone. And then the white throne judgment takes place. And that's where all truth will be exposed. Right there. Fascinating thing. So, pre-tribulation, it's a no-brainer for me. Pre-millennial, that's a no-brainer. Now, I know how things are going to end. Every one of those ages end in chaos and destruction because that's how life is. Ever since Adam's fall, everything degenerates toward chaos and destruction. And the only way to prevent that or delay it is an outside force has to step in, and the outside force has to do something. Okay, in our world, it might be your car, your house, your motorcycle, your cell phone, your possessions in your house. You have to, an outside force has to repair things, maintain things. When it gets to the earth, The Lord has built in automatic healing techniques. I remember when Valdez and that place won't have any vegetation for 1,000 years or 100 years. You go up to Valdez, you didn't even know there was an oil spill. He says, God built it in. But even at that, God has to come in and fix this. The outside force is Jesus Christ. Man, there's nothing better than that. Don't want to miss that. So with science and scripture, with scripture one, then science reinforces it. You know, I think confusion goes away. But when people make their opinion their final authority, live in confusion. God is not the author of confusion. And so things can be fixed by easily rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for these great promises, the plan that you have laid out. And you've given enough scripture to verify these things. And we can even look in the science world and see how things operate, that everything degenerates. As much as we can to try to take care of our body, it's still that if you do not intervene and have the rapture in my lifetime, well, I'm going to end up in a casket someday. And Lord, I don't expect that, but I know that that's where it's going. Trying to delay it as much as possible because I want to do something to serve you. But Lord, we're looking forward to your coming, even so come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.